Late last month, President Trump scored his first major legislative victory with the passage of his massive tax overhaul bill. But thornier agenda items loom on the horizon, including a government funding deadline of January 19th. We might see Democrats using leverage on must-pass spending to insist on a legislative solution to protect Dreamers from deportation. We're talking about this and more with U.S. Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Your questions are welcome, 800-642-1234. We're approaching the anniversary of President Trump's first year in office. How has it been? How would you describe Congress's relationship with the White House? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Steve, who joins us in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, one of the things with the Republicans is their tent is just so big. You take a look at, you know, a Rand Paul and a Ted Cruz are almost on opposite side of the spectrum on so many issues. It's hard for things to get done. When you look at the Democrats, they're just so enamored with this Trump derangement syndrome that the media plays into, that if there anyone crosses the aisle to do anything as a Republican, you know, they're pretty much thrown out of the party. I mean, heck, they even had to have the sacrificial lamb of Al Franken be thrown out of the Senate just because they're trying to find a way to get at Trump. So my question is, how will any Democrat be able to reach across the aisle with this Trump derangement syndrome going on and not feel like they're going to be ostracized by their own party?
Representative?
Sure, Kate. Well, first of all, I just completely disagree with the caller's premise. The Republican Party being a Big Ten party is like saying, you know, it's as wide as A to B in the alphabet. And the Democrats are a much more diverse party. And, you know, so just the whole premise doesn't work. However, I think Democrats, including myself, are more than willing to work with the president if he puts an agenda forward that actually is reaching across the aisle to work with us. Let me give you a couple examples. One would be infrastructure. If he actually wants to put new dollars into infrastructure to help create some high-paying jobs, we have a serious need for infrastructure. According to the American Society of Civil Engineers, I think we've been given a D-plus grade for the nation's infrastructure. We have bridges that are old enough to be eligible for Medicare, like a giant percent in this country. That would be something we could do. Now, we're not going to just, you know, allow private people to build bridges and charge people to go over them and things like that. That's not infrastructure. But if you really want to do what everyone considers infrastructure, putting money into bricks and roads and schools and broadband and those issues, we would be there. Second issue would be prescription drug pricing. I was happy to hear the head of the FDA, when he came before my committee, the Appropriations Committee, say that they're going to do more to promote generic drug use. That saves consumers money and helps put more needed drugs into people's hands. So if they actually put some things out there and then reach out to with us to do things with us, we would do that. But you can't think a tax plan that's going to cut taxes for the richest and provide a few crumbs to some in the middle class, and others are going to pay more. That's not the type of bill that's going to attract our attention. So really, we need the president to be the leader of the country and bring people together. Unfortunately, he doesn't quite know how to do that.
Well, the media aside, there are a number of people in this country who are concerned that America is more divided than ever. Do you agree with this?
You know, I'll tell you, you do see that, especially in the context that, you know, we get in the office. People are very engaged. I think maybe that's a better way of putting it, where not everyone followed politics because most people are normal and worry about, you know, things like, can they pay their mortgage? Are they taking a family vacation? And can they send their kids to college? They have health care. Those are the general concerns of people. But we've noticed a much higher level of engagement because of, whether it be because of the use of social media, because of the divisive agenda that's been put forward, whatever it's been, it's certainly engaged people at a higher level. So are we seeing more contacts and more people concerned about the future? Yes. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, that's a good thing. I see more civic involvement as helpful for all of us to do our jobs, but we certainly do see a heightened level of awareness.
President Trump tweeted earlier this week that the Democrats have been told and fully understand that there can be no DACA without the desperately needed wall at the southern border and an end to the horrible chain migration and ridiculous lottery system of immigration, etc. We must protect our country at all cost. What is your reaction to that tweet?
You know, again, an exasperation because it's not the policy of the White House or necessarily the Republicans in Congress when he puts that out there. Two sessions ago, my first session in Congress, there actually was a compromise bill that went through with bipartisan support in the Senate. It got held up by the Republicans in the House, but would have fixed some of the immigration issues that needed to be there without doing anything as ridiculous and expensive and unnecessary as building a wall across the entire southern border of the United States. So, you know, for the president to still try to throw out some hyperbole to the base, so to speak, I mean, I've heard more about the base this year than I think any other year that he's so worried about and still hold his rallies and get his adulation that he's looking for is really counterproductive to, I think, where we need to go. First of all, DACA never was a problem. It never should have been put on the table. And two, we do have to do some comprehensive immigration reform. But so far, we're not seeing any realistic approaches being proposed by either the president or the leadership in Congress.
Well, Representative, everyone said it couldn't be done. President Trump's ability in his first year to get the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act through, it came through as promised before Christmas, the most significant overhaul of our tax system in three decades. What do you think of this act?
Well, first of all, I mean, originally we were promised tax reform. This isn't reform. We still have many of the loopholes in place for especially higher earners. What we did do is provide tax cuts almost extensively for the wealthiest and a little bit to the middle class to try to have some cover. But at the end of the period, 2027, most of the tax cuts, in fact, almost all of the tax cuts for the middle class are gone, but the corporate rate reduction and other tax reductions for the wealthy remain. So they said something like over 80% of the tax cuts by 2027 will be going to the top 1%. That is completely the wrong direction. If we are going to do any kind of tax reform, it should be focused on the middle class and those aspiring to be in the middle class. But you can't ignore that you have to have revenue for government to run. And the fact that they took that bill to provide those tax cuts for the wealthiest that blows over $1 trillion of a hole into the deficit. And now already Paul Ryan, I mean, the audacity weeks later to say we have to go after Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid because that's what's blowing a hole in the deficit. It defies logic or common sense. So I think luckily our fight is to defend Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, and the public see those as some of the most valuable programs we do. So once again, we'll have the public on our side, but the fact that they're even trying to push this agenda is rather remarkable.
One issue President Trump during his first year in office is this ongoing Russia investigation. What are you watching for there?
You know, we just want to make sure that Mr. Mueller is able to continue his investigation. I think so far he's done it in a very respectable way. And I think let's find out what comes out of that. I would still love to see an independent commission on the congressional level also doing its job on this. We know Russia did something fairly unprecedented at the level of interfering with our election. We know this from every intelligence agency at this point. Now it's how do you make sure it doesn't happen in the future, and was there any complicity along the way during the election? And I think that's what we're trying to find out. We need to let that stay its course. And you know, we also have to figure out how to try to stop that in the future. I mean, this cyber hacking, this ability to put out social media news, all that they've done really has to be stopped.
Midterm elections in mind, as we round out this conversation, what are the top priorities for Democrats in the House this year?
Well, you know, I think we really are looking at an economic agenda that works for the middle class. So we've been saying it's a better deal, better jobs, better wages, and a better future. And it's a very different approach than what the Republicans have looked at. You know, they provided tax cuts to the top 1%, 2%, in corporations. We think you have to focus on everybody else. And I think if we do it in economic terms, talking about raising people's wages, creating high-paying jobs, helping provide for people to have health insurance and access to higher education and apprenticeships to get higher wages, I think we can really let the American people know that we have a better approach than what's been put forward, especially in this last year. So I hope that that's what we keep focused on, not saying that there's not other issues around the environment or immigration or other things that we also have to talk about, but at its core, how economics affect the average family in Wisconsin and America is what we need to focus on.
Thank you for making time for us.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much, Kate.
Representative Mark Pocan is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, which represents South Central Wisconsin. We're continuing our conversation about legislative priorities in the new year, now with a Republican viewpoint. Let's bring in Cameron Clark. He's the national committeeman with the Wisconsin Young Republicans. Cameron, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for inviting me on this morning.
Well, before we dive deep into congressional issues and the agenda for the year ahead, let's first talk about President Trump's tweets last night taking on North Korea in a nuclear weapon type showdown. What do you make of the tweets coming out of President Trump?
I don't think anything that was said was anything that wasn't already obvious. And I understand that Trump has his bravado and he likes to posture that way. But at the end of the day, everyone knows our nuclear arsenal is more powerful than North Korea's. I don't think that's anything overly controversial.
So let's take a look at this government shutdown here. Federal spending levels are one area of disagreement between Republicans and Democrats. What are you watching in this situation as we get closer to January 19th and another looming federal government shutdown? Will it happen?
Well, I'm certainly hoping we don't get there. I'd very much like to just get back to, I guess, the normal process of things. I know that's something that Speaker Paul Ryan has been trying to do for quite some time, and they've actually passed budgets out of the House. So at least we've got the House doing what they need to do. The Senate, of course, has to get something out of their chamber as well. And I hope to have something that's going to I would love to have a two-year budget and actually get some continuity so businesses and people can plan around what the government's doing and not have these continuing CRs or what have you.
During the coming months, there's also the future of the Dreamers to consider, DACA a big thing. What do you want to see Congress do on this issue?
Legislative clarity. I would love to have some legislative clarity. When Obama did this, keep in mind that he only implemented this executive order after he had a supermajority in both houses. I mean, he could have done this the correct way and gone through the legislative branches, gone through the normal process, the way our American system is actually set up. But he didn't decide to do that. He only did it after he had botched everything and lost control of his supermajority, and then decided to go rogue and just do things with executive orders. I would love to have the way things are supposed to be done, this go through the legislative branch, and then go and be signed through the president. So I'm not sure what the best policy prescription is. It certainly has to contain some sort of border security. And then, of course, we have to decide what we are going to do with people here. And I don't think, as much as I don't think rounding people up and deporting them is very American, we also can't just grant an amnesty.
President Trump is scheduled to meet with Speaker Paul Ryan and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell at Camp David over the weekend to map out the GOP agenda. What are the top issues you hope to see congressional Republicans taking on in 2018?
Actually, the one thing I will agree with Congressman Pocan on is transportation. Now, this has been something that has largely been a bipartisan issue, and I hope that that can continue finally. Now, I don't know if all of his opinions on transportation funding I'd agree with, but I think we can get back to the basic tenets of we need to have some upgrades in our country, and that includes some of the bridges he mentioned, that includes some of the roadways. This is funding that needs to happen. It needs to happen the right way, and I hope to have bipartisan support moving forward. I also would love to see some entitlement spending really tackled. You look at some of the problems we're having with Medicare and Medicaid, and we did a very good job in 2017. We finally got the tax relief that the middle class needs. We finally made our corporate tax code competitive worldwide. Now we need to go and make sure that we limit government spending as well.
And through the entitlement programs, do you see a way forward through those programs to make cuts?
There's some common sense things that can be done. One of the things, especially with Social Security, gradually increasing the retirement age can add years and years of solvency to that program. It also makes sure that my generation, I'm 26, that I'm actually going to be able to see that plan when I finally get to, 65, 67, whatever it is, when I finally get to that point, and actually keep those government promises to all the people and not have this collapse on itself.
Well, here we are in the year of midterm elections, 2018 midterm elections. Do you see an ability to work across the aisle? Can the agenda be ambitious in 2018?
I would hope the agenda is ambitious every year. If it's not, what are we really doing for the American people?
But these are people who are taking risks on issues that voters may be deciding upon at the ballot box.
And that's how politics should work. This is what we should demand from our representatives. It doesn't matter if it's an election year. The House is elected every 2 years. They're never not in an election year. The Senate gets a little bit of a breather there, but at the end of the day, we want our legislators to go out there and make difficult decisions. We send what we hope are the best people to do that. So I hope the election year would spur more action, if anything, because that's what we should demand from our legislators.
Cameron Clark is with us. He's the national committeeman of the Wisconsin Young Republicans. We're discussing his viewpoint on the congressional agenda and assessing President Trump's first year in office. We'll be taking up a look back at President Trump's first year in office in the coming minutes. Issues affecting Wisconsinites also on the table. Your insights are welcome at 800-642-1234. What are you expecting in 2018 in politics? What do you want to see? What do you think will be the challenges facing Republicans? Are you optimistic or are you doubtful that the agenda will be ambitious? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Bring on your agenda for Congress and what Wisconsin has to do with it. And we will stay with Cameron Clark, who is the National Committeeman of the Wisconsin Young Republicans. We'll return after a news update. Stay with us. Congressional Republicans return this week thrilled they passed a major tax code overhaul before Christmas as promised, but there is some uncertainty and division about what they will do in 2018, which is the critical midterm election year. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Cameron Clark is with us in the second part of the hour. He's the national committeeman with the Wisconsin Young Republicans. Your insights on the congressional agenda at 800-642-1234. What action do you want to see Congress take this year? Do you see an agenda that will address issues that are vital to you? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Cameron, take a look back for us over the year with President Trump. How was 2017 for you?
2017 was pretty darn good. We are really excited about tax reform. I'm excited about that. This is going to be taking, I think people will start seeing returns from this as early as February. I work in industrial sales. I'm already seeing the kind of economic growth from different manufacturers around here in the state of Wisconsin, how things have really taken off as they're hopeful for some of these things taking effect, and how this really helps, middle-class families. I think the statistic is, your average family of four, $74,000 annually for household income, and for a two person, for a family that's not anything out of the ordinary, they're going to see a $2,000 tax cut. That is huge to have another extra $2,000 a year. I'm getting married in June, and I would love to have an extra $2,000 to put towards that, I can tell you.
What would you say to critics who argue that this is a cut largely for the wealthiest Americans, and middle class will see these cuts taper off in coming years?
You know, we can always have a legislative fix to extend those for the middle class. I have no problem with that, or giving even greater cuts. I'd be fine with additional legislation for that. But when it comes to simply, those are the usual talking points. What we're trying to do is make our corporations competitive worldwide. And when you have the highest tax rate in the industrialized world, you just can't do that. This brings our tax code in line with the rest of the world. It allows us to compete with companies in other foreign countries. It allows us to stop inversions from happening and keeping American companies American. So you have, you don't have Budweiser going over and being owned by, I believe it's a Belgian company or a Dutch company. You don't have Tim Hortons taking over Burger King.
Were there any areas where you felt the president fell short during his first year in office?
The only, glaring thing for me was healthcare. The American Healthcare Act was far from perfect, but it was a heck of a lot better than Obamacare. Now, what we did with tax reform took care of part of the issue with Obamacare, with the individual mandate and having penalties for choosing not to become insured. But there's a lot more problems left over from that law that I was hoping could be fixed in his first year of office, but might have to extend that deadline.
Well, there was one fix in the tax code overhaul due to healthcare, for healthcare. But do you see any type of work on healthcare in 2018?
I'm not sure on that one. I really hope that there is. It's my own personal opinion. I'm not going to be toting any party line there, but I don't know. We'll remain to see. I'm hopeful. President Trump, like you said, is going to be meeting with Leader McConnell and Speaker Ryan, and I really hope that's something they decide to put their nose to the grindstone on.
One of the issues for the Trump administration during the president's first year in office has been this ongoing Russia investigation. Do you think this has impacted President Trump?
It's been a distraction. I don't know if it's really as involved as what the media is trying to portray. All I really hope is that the truth comes out. Whoever was involved, that there was illegal activity, and I think that's all we can hope for any of our elected officials, be that Democrat or Republican, independent even. If there is collusion, if there is illegal activity, I sincerely hope it's found out.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller, has he been doing his job? Do you think President Trump will actually fire him?
If they actually do their job, there's no reason to fire them. I don't know if he's doing everything he should be doing. I don't know if everything he's doing should be done. I don't have as much information on that as I would like. But again, when you have an investigation like this, not everything should be made public.
So 1 year in, do you think President Trump has changed the presidency, or has the presidency changed him?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, every president we have has their own personal quirks. Everyone has their own personal approach to it. No one's going to say that Clinton was the same as Obama, much less Trump the same as, insert any name in there. Everyone has their own particular approach. I do think the weight of the responsibility has changed certain things about how President Trump has acted. I also know he's brought his own personal style to how he conducts himself in this job.
Does that personal style reflective of America? Do you see that personal style is how America should be seen on the world stage?
I think that's one of the reasons why his message resonated with a lot of voters. He spoke to how they were feeling, and he didn't try to gloss it up. There wasn't any makeup on what he was saying about the problems that we have in this country. And I think that resonated with a lot of people.
Talking right now with Cameron Clark. He's the national committeeman with the Wisconsin Young Republicans. In the first half of the hour, we were hearing from U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. We must let you know we are having some technical issues with our phone system, so your call is not getting through right now, but you can also post your question and comments to the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can certainly send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can tweet at us, WPR Mornings. Cameron, there have been a number of concerns in this country, media aside, that our country is more divided than ever. Do you agree with this?
I think a lot of that started with President Obama. To be honest, I think that's when we really started seeing some divides. I think those divides need to be healed. But at the end of the day, people have got to remember, you know, we're Americans first. You can present rational people with the same set of facts, and they can come to wildly different conclusions. That's why Representative Pocan believes one thing, and I believe almost the opposite on a lot of issues. But at the end of the day, and
what are some of those issues? Do you see such huge division?
I mean, certainly look at health care. I mean, there's obviously, he was talking about a caller when he was in who talked about Medicare for all. I can tell you that's not going anywhere as long as Republicans have control of either house.
Why?
Any branch of government, that's not happening because it's you're socializing medicine. It's a horrendous policy that is not going to help people. It's going to lead to government-controlled health care. I don't want that. I want to make sure that if I want a certain kind of health care, I have the freedom to go purchase it. And I don't want government telling me what I can have, when I can have it, or how much it's going to cost.
Are Republicans on the same page now about health care?
We're on the same page that we don't like Obamacare. We're on the same page that there needs to be some things that can change. But at the end of the day, we are a big tent party. There are a lot of competing ideas. And the legislative process, I think people forget this, is slow and arduous. It's not supposed to be easy. You know, our founding fathers didn't make it where you could put whatever you wanted through in a bill and sign it into law in a week or two. That's not how it typically works. You're supposed to have long, drawn-out debate. You're supposed to weed out bad ideas. You're supposed to go and try and find the best possible outcome. That's not what happened when Obamacare was passed. That's what we're hoping happens with the Republican health care plan.
This year, 2018, has been talked up as a year to watch because of the midterm elections. What challenges do you think your party faces as these elections approach?
I don't know about challenges. I'm excited for these midterms. We have a very favorable Senate map. And actually, the only thing I'm honestly upset about is that Wisconsin isn't listed in Politico's top 10 Senate races to watch, because there are going to be a lot of people here are going to try to get Tammy Baldwin out of Washington. And I'm excited to be working on the front lines with that. But there are many places where we think we can pick up seats. I don't think there's going to be many, if any, places where we have a really significant chance of losing one. And I think we can increase our majority, which is going to make things a lot easier to get done moving forward.
What do you think will be the issues that will be brought to light in the ads that will be brought before us, in things in our mailbox and all of the solicitations that we'll receive? What will be the issues around the midterms?
Well, when people start realizing that their tax bill, their returns are higher and they don't have to pay as much, I think that's going to go a long way. I don't really think we're going to need to have too much literature for that. The IRS is going to take care of that for us. So we're excited for that. It's definitely going to be a victory lap when it comes to tax reform. But there are a lot of other things. Like I said, we need to make sure we focus on transportation. We need to also take a look at President Trump's foreign policy successes. If you look at the large defeat of ISIS, and how little coverage that has gotten. It's really flown under the radar, but has been a very strong victory for him in his foreign policy. And talking up the wins like that and talking about what we want to do moving forward, how we're going to secure our border, restore the rule of law, and make sure that we have just, pretty much get these things back to the norm. where we don't have to worry about drug trafficking across our southern border, where we don't have to worry about things like that.
Cameron Clark, at the beginning of the interview, you mentioned you're 26. What are some issues that you're watching, especially as a younger voter, and what will be the millennial impact going forward, and especially in the 2018 midterms?
I know the economy is a huge issue. People in my demographic, the young Republicans, we look at people 18 to 40. They're going to school. They're graduating. They're finding jobs. They're buying their first house. You know, they're getting married, having kids. Tax reform touched almost every single one of those issues. So that's a huge thing for my demographic, and making sure that we have the freedoms we want to have, but we're not forced to buy a health care plan that we don't like. Things like that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Cameron.
It was a pleasure speaking to you, as always.
Cameron Clark is the national committeeman with the Wisconsin Young Republicans. And in the first half hour, we heard from U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. This hour, The Morning Show was produced by Brianne Chasso and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation comes to you on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.